dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox. Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox. This is show 253, if you're keeping count, our eighth and final show of the 2019 season. So we really do appreciate you joining us this afternoon, this evening, this morning, whenever you happen to be listening to us. This show and all of our shows, of course, brought to us by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. They are, in fact, open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You'll find all kinds of good things to eat there at Triple Crown, all kinds of good things to do as well. You'll also find the Bullseye Sports Bar, and you can get all kinds of details by calling at 740-773-7529, or you can look them up on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. And of course, despite the fact that we've mentioned this all these many shows, I believe, in 2018-2019, we want to remind you that they do have the limousine rental. You can enjoy their luxurious state-of-the-art limousines and party vans. And despite the fact, John Bruce, that we have not been able to partake of that nicety, it wasn't apparently written into the contract, as we were led to believe that a limousine or party van would pick us up and take us to the opulent SVC Sports Zone studio. It just never happened. So just remember, when you think of fun, think Triple Crown, but don't think of SVC's John Bruce and Bruce Knox riding in a luxurious limousine or party van. And we say hello to John on that note.
Yeah, I am not happy.
Yep.
I thought I was patient, mm-hmm. and I thought out of all the times to do it
would have
been the award show, but you know, I even got my tuxedo shorts mm-hmm. To go with my tuxedo mm-hmm. and cummerbund, and I am unhappy.
I was really stunned about these cummerbunds. I can't imagine that you have to wear those a lot, and I'm still trying to figure out how to put it on over here. So, you know, we'll do our best here to look sharp. And speaking of sharp, we want to bring in our executive grand poobah, the guy that makes it happen, the head cheese, the pick of the pack, number one and rising higher all the time. The SVC Sports Zone guru, Mr. Shane Combs. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing great, and I do apologize. It was really rude of me to pull up in the black stretch limo there and then not pick you guys up as well.
Yeah.
So I apologize, but
and all the food in there as well.
Just obviously a special night here at the SVC Sports Zone.
But why don't you tell us about that a little bit, Shane?
Well, the SVC Sports Zone, I don't even know when we made this thing up here a couple years back or whatnot, but the idea of the show is to celebrate the entire year of SVC Sports. You know, we get through about 30 shows a year thanks to the incredible sponsorship there of Triple Crown. And, you know, we come up with these categories. I'll ask around to a lot of people, what was the best game you're at, or who's the best this, or what was the best this, and so forth. And we try to put these categories together. And man, when you go through you have multiple, double digit varsity sports that we have in our league, and you're trying to sort them all out. I know I've missed some, you know, but with what I try to do, sort through them and come up with some reasons why certain things make the cut and certain things don't. And then, yeah, we picked some winners. I don't know exactly what the winner means, other than the incredible honor of saying, hey, I won a Sports Zoney.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, what it does do, I think, if you love SVC sports, I think you'll love this show, because we're going to spend about the next hour here just talking about everything that was in the SVC this year. And it's probably going to get you thinking back to different things. And I think by the time we're done, you're going to realize that, man, it's really a cool thing to follow SVC sports and the great kids and the great programs we have. So I think that's what makes it a lot of fun. And then we usually get some feedback on, hey, I agree on this one, disagree on this one, hey, you forgot about this one, whatever. And again, it's kind of an ongoing discussion. I'm kind of bringing attention to things. And real quick, Bruce, before we get started, I want to give John a shout out. His coverage yesterday was off the charts. I know during the spring, he and I both coach, so we don't get to do some of the different things we do in the fall and winter. But John, I know our kids appreciated you coming out. Then he takes off, Bruce, and drives to Lynchburg. All during the while, he's getting updates on track and highlighting those kids throughout the day on Twitter as well. So that was A-plus coverage. You know, I know a lot of people talk about the different area coverage. The thing, again, that makes SVCSportsZone.com so unique is we're doing it just for our SVC, and that's what we love about it, and it gives our league a chance to somewhere to go to just get 100% that 100% of the time. So John, hats off to you on that. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was fun.
Would have been nice, John, I'm sure, to have the limousine available yesterday as well.
Yeah, and Shane, it definitely would have. Shane, when I saw you earlier, I probably should have shown you my legs, where I was not covered by my umbrella like I thought I was, sitting in my easy chair in the outfield at both games, and my knees and calves are very burnt. So I will remember that day for at least the next few days. So pretty ridiculous my tan line is right now.
They look good in your tuxedo shorts, though, I must say that.
Yeah.
It's sort of the red of the hue of your legs set off by the black tuxedo shorts.
Yes.
So that's really nice. Well, guys, shall we get to it? Okay. Our first Sports Zoney Award category is Team of the Year. And here are the nominees. We go first, Paint Valley Football, the Uniondo Fall Sports, that includes golf, boys, cross country, and girls soccer, Zane Trace Boys Basketball, and Westfall Softball and Westfall Baseball. Shane?
Well, guys, when I put this category together, you know, obviously when you ask around, depending on who you ask, a lot of it's going to depend on their favorite sport, if I'm being honest. You know, if you ask a coach of basketball, or a coach of baseball, or just a fan of volleyball or whatever it might be, you know, 9 chances out of 10, you're going to get their league champion, right? You're going to look at, you know, for someone to highlight their sport. And obviously winning a league in anything, John, is a special, special thing. Winning a sectional title, winning a district title, whatever it might be. I guess what I started to separate was I think there's something about going undefeated that's really, really hard. And the Paint Valley football team accomplished that. And then they got the big playoff win as well. Obviously, that last week they were in over their head. But I still think their resume was built for an award like this far before that. The Uniondo Fall Sports was really hard to sort out because, you know, one, they don't get as much attention. Two, people might not think there's the depth or the head-to-head things that you have to go through to win a particular league title or so forth. I don't know if this is fair or not. I kind of looked at the Zane Trace Boys Basketball as kind of maybe being a little bit over top of the Uniondo Girls Basketball, and that's kind of why I just went with the one basketball team. Again, I don't know if that's fair or not. That's just kind of my thinking there in terms of some of their tournament success as well. And then Westfall softball, Westfall baseball, kind of felt like it was hard to put one and not the other. I feel like, and again, I know I'm biased here. John, you will be too a little bit. The baseball, this league top to bottom this year was unlike anything I'd ever seen. To the point of, if you survive that 14-game grind, that's incredible. And then the softball team kind of did it in a dominant fashion again. So, you know, when you think back of all these champions and, you know, all the league success, all the tournament success, and I think of all the incredible games I watched some of these particular teams play, It really makes it hard to sort out. But those are kind of the ones I go. So, you know, John, when you look at those, first of all, before Bruce asks you to name a winner, any clarification, any follow-up, anything that you kind of are debating back and forth that you're wondering maybe where I was coming from?
No, they look good. I mean, maybe, you know, I understand why you went with the Zane Trace boys basketball. I think Unita girls basketball should get a little bit of a shout-out going undefeated in the league and going toe-to-toe with the Sheridan team that got to the regional final. You know, I thought was very impressive. You know, the Westfall baseball getting through that league. This league this year was just an absolute grind, and winning the league is very impressive. But yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from. And Bruce, I think I'm ready to pick a winner.
Well, hold on real quick, too. Oh. John, Adina boys basketball had some shout outs to me this week. Yes. And again, I do want to highlight them here on the show. That was an incredible thing. Something happened what, in 40 years or whatever. But but don't you feel like in a category like this, we are looking at least a league champion as a baseline, and then the tournament success up and beyond that? Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. Okay. Because I mean, that's why I originally was kind of thinking, you know, Southeastern volleyball. But like you said, go to the league champion on that with their great tournament run.
Again, Southeastern Volleyball, Elite Eight, all the way there, just shy of the four,
All right, gentlemen. Our 2018-2019 SVC Sports Zony Award for Team of the Year goes to...
Paint Valley Football. I think any team that goes undefeated into week 12, like you said, it was a little overmatched in week 12, but beat a very, very good Grandview Heights team in week 11. And really, I mean, the Southeastern game was somewhat close, you know, an 8-point win for them where they scored late. And then the Uniota game, other than that, they were just dominant. Very impressed with the way they took care of business this year, and that's why I went with them for the team of the year.
Good deal. Our first Sports Zony Award winner is out the door, so they will be getting their hardware, I'm sure, at some point in time. Anyway, we're moving on to the next category, the next category being Male Athlete of the Year. The nominees are Elijah McCloskey of Huntington, Lane Ruby of Southeastern, and Bryce Newland of Paint Valley. Shane?
John, before I actually talk about the three that made my final cut, I had a couple questions for you, just a discussion point that maybe the fans will enjoy. You know, I'll use an example like a show block with golf and bowling, or, you know, we have so many different kids that within the two sport of, you know, let me just put it as simple as this. In order to be something this elite, do you feel like we have to have a three-sport athlete, or in your mind, have I cheated some of the kids that are really, really good at one or really good at, you know, a couple even? Do you feel like we have to have a three-sport athlete here?
I don't know if it's necessarily a have to. Now, I'll give Ty Showblock shout out here. He did play baseball this year.
No, he did. I was just using the elite stature of
Now, and the reason I was going to give him a shout out on the baseball was he hadn't played in like 4 years, and I mean, he still was one of our top pinch hitters. You know, and something to really say about his athleticism was to be able to come in and do something he hadn't done in like 4 years and at least be able to moderately hit varsity pitching. But yeah, I feel like it is kind of a something for a three-sport athlete to be the male athlete of the year, or, you know, kind of female athlete of the year on this. I think it comes down to being an elite level at multiple sports, or a sport per year or per season, I guess.
Sure, sure.
If you go fall, winter, and spring, and that's kind of I can see why you would go there. I do think we have some outstanding one or two sport athletes also, but I do think if you're going to cover the whole year, I think it does need to go to a three sport athlete.
That was my biggest hiccup. You're like, let's start with Elijah there. Obviously, he's an elite level athlete and all league, almost all, probably all district performer in all three sports, probably even all Ohio and at least a couple of them. He's just tremendous. I think we've watched him grow in the league, and I think we're both big fans, and I think anybody who watches the kids conduct himself and handle himself would be as well. Lane Ruby, when we talk about the word athlete, probably not a better athlete in the league, period. Some of the things, record-breaking performances and watching him do some things individually. One of the coolest things about him is talking to other coaches about him. If you ever get a chance, John, to talk to other football mm-hmm. coaches around the league about him, you'll just sit and laugh. And it's some of the coolest compliments you can get is from your peers or from your competitors around the league. That's kind of neat. And then on the Paint Valley situation, you know, I went through all the different schools and I was looking at some things, and I very well might have cheated a track kid here and there. But like when I start to look at a Lane Mettler or a Mackie McDonald or Braden Eisen or an Ian Cockrell, those types of kids, the thing to me that separates Bryce Newland's a quarterback of a 10-0 regular season football team. And then, you know, obviously a very, very productive, honorable mention, all-league, all-district type of player in baseball. And then, all by the way, in the winter, he's first-team all-league basketball player. You know what I mean? To me, that was the separation there was, again, the three-sport push. So that would be the interesting discussion to have. You know what I mean? How do you separate the three-sport athlete, say, from a Cam Evans?
Mm-hmm.
Someone who, you know, dominated the single individual sport, you know, but maybe not year round. There's certainly other athletes around. You know, the Eisen kid comes to mind, being a player of the year in one sport, being a key member of a really, really good basketball team that was just up for team of the year. And again, I could go on down the line, but I guess that's where I had ended up coming to these three. At any time you feel like you want a write-in vote, by all means, take it. But that's why I kind of arrived at these three young men in terms of our male athlete of the year.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like you mentioned, the Cam Evans, Cameron DeBoard,
mm-hmm.
you know, Braden Eisen, along with Chad Eisen, Lane Mettler, those just really, really good athletes. Mentioned Ty Schoblock already. But I think the three is on this one, I think are the ones that make it ridiculously hard to choose from anyway. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's a good place to go. So, Bruce, I think I'm ready to go.
All right. The 2018-2019 SVC Sports Zoning Award for Male Athlete of the Year goes to...
That was a short one. I'm going with Elijah McCloskey of Huntington.
All right.
I just kind of looked at, you know, first team, all league and three sports. It just gives him a little bit of a boost on that. It's just unreal all around athlete. Great. Just outstanding at whatever he does. Really special. And I think that, Ruby and Newland will probably be fighting out for this one next year. And this is not to slight those two at all. But I know we'll talk about it a little bit later, on something Elijah did earlier this year also, but, just awesome all around athlete and I go with him for male athlete of the year.
All right, and we move along to our next category, which, as you might have guessed, is Female Athlete of the Year. And the nominees are Josie Fisher, Holly Pinkerton, and Amber Cottrell from Uniodo, Braden Collins, Allison Basie from Huntington, Leah McFadden of Paint Valley, or Marcy Dungeon of Westfall. Shane?
John, this was really hard for me here, and I hope I don't hurt these young ladies in terms of your opinion on this, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned them and talked about all of them on the show, because as I went through, I had so much trouble winning the school, so to speak, before I could even get them into a final three or four. I think at Uniota, Josie Fisher's probably the athlete because of some of the positions she plays and so forth that gets a little bit more of the recognition, you know, in terms of the kills in volleyball or the points in basketball or so forth. You know, Pinkerton, being a defensive player in volleyball, great, great role player in basketball, arguably one of our top position players in softball that we have in our league. And then, you know, Cottrell, you and I are huge fans of hers in the winter on the basketball court. We know she's a huge part of a championship level volleyball team. And then, you know, she adds some things athletically in the spring to the track team as well. So to me, it was hard to sort within that school. The same with Collins and Basie. Now, Collins being a senior, Basie a freshman, maybe that plays a role in this as well. We've watched one kid do it for, you know, 8 or 9 months. We've watched another kid do it for 3.5, 4 years. Maybe that plays a factor. Leah McFadden and Marcy Dudgeon, I think, are two kids that are really, like, we could almost make a separate category in terms of really underappreciated. Like, you've heard me talk about, you know, some of Leah's teams maybe have struggled in league play, but it had some great tournament success. But this is a kid that throughout her career is consistently talked about as from the volleyball coaches as one of the best volleyball skilled kids in our league. She's a really good basketball player, had a nice senior year, and then softball again, because she doesn't pitch, it took us way too long to figure out just how good she is there. I mean, she's a kid that as a catcher and a hitter is outstanding in the spring. Dudgeon, this is where John's really helped our coverage this year. Tremendous soccer talent in terms of athlete. Again, as we said earlier, if we're talking athlete, we're talking really athletic kid here in Marcy Dudgeon. Basketball, I know a lot's made of her coming off the bench or whatever. Sorry. She's really, really good. She's certainly an all-league talent in basketball. And then player of the year there in softball, obviously playing the most important position in terms of leading a team to a gold ball finish. So, again, I don't want to hurt the Uniota or Huntington kids by splitting the vote, so to speak. But but it's one of those things where I thought it was really unfair to mention one and not mention the others. So this makes the category a little bit bigger on you. You'll have to decide if you want to sort one of those kids out of the Uniota Huntington school there or go with someone more that's maybe doing it individually throughout the three sports at another. This was probably I'll talk about another topic later. This was probably my most difficult topic to put together for sure.
Man, it's like I thought, you know, looking at some of these other topics, I think this is the hardest one, just because, like you said, it's hard to differentiate some of the ones from their own school.
Yes.
So that makes it really difficult. And then you put underappreciated players. And it also, like Aaliyah McFadden, who for 4 years just been just really, really good at everything she's done. Marcy Dudgeon, I mean, I watched her in the district game for them down in soccer, just keep them in the game. You know, gave them a chance against a really, really good Wheelersburg team. Ends up being a 1-0 game, but man, it was just like you hear someone mention a hockey goalie stands on their head making saves, and it felt like she was doing that in that game. And
John, let me interrupt you there too, because this is something you taught me earlier in the year. Maybe you should comment quickly on it. You were talking to me about people who don't know the game of soccer probably don't understand that some of the best athletes we have in all of sports is our soccer goalies that play at an elite level. Talk to us real quick about that.
Yeah. To be a goalie in soccer, you have to have really good instincts. You have to be athletic, because if you're not athletic, you can't save. I won't say half the balls, because
Right.
Most of them are on the ground, but there's a good number of them are in the air going towards the corners. If you're not athletic, you have virtually no chance to save a penalty kick. I'm friends with Sydney Free, Uniota's goalie on her dad on Facebook, and it feels like every weekend he's posting a video of her making an amazing save on a penalty kick in these elite tournaments to go in, and like that mm-hmm. that girl, she plays one sport and she's an unreal athlete,
right,
just as the goalie. And Dudgeon didn't play goalie the entire year. There were times early in the year where they would switch out goalies halfway through a game, or sometimes she just didn't play it. I know it was kind of a need because of an extra circumstance throughout the year, but you know, sometimes you just say, all right, who's my best athlete? Okay, you're playing goalie. I watched her play goalie against Uniota early in the year without goalie gloves, and I mean, that's just an extra thing. You can do it, but it gives you an extra grip, and she kept them in the game. It's just by being athletic, making good reads, attacking the ball. I guess if you're going to look at it softball wise, maybe or baseball wise, you put your best infielder at short, or maybe sometimes at third, just depending on what the other team's going to do. It's kind of like, okay, that's your best infielder. Mm-hmm. It's just doing little things. They have to be able to throw the ball, because when you make a throw, you can lead your offense into plays. You still have to be able to kick the ball. It's just there's so many different things in that a goalie has to do that makes it just such a difficult position. And sometimes sometimes there's not much action because of how good your defense is. But it takes something special to be a really good goalie.
Okay, are you ready to go here, John, on the Female Athlete of the Year?
I want to throw out a couple other names.
Okay.
Just to throw it out there. And I know that we'll talk about her later, but Paris DeBoard of Uniota, coming off a knee injury. And really, if it's not for that knee injury, maybe she's excelling varsity-wise in other sports. But winning four events, coming off a torn ACL in the SBC meet, and then qualifying for three regional events.
Absolutely.
Then going to maybe a little more distance, and also soccer. Abby Seals of Uniota also only did the two sports, but really, really good soccer player, and qualified for three events also in the regional. Abby Mohan of Zane Trace qualifies for three events in the regionals, makes a big run in cross country too. Just one of our dominating athletes in multiple sports. Jayla Campbell, another one in two sports, came back.
No question there. And again, I go back to my three sport thing, and that's why I asked, you know, the Uniota girls soccer team had a lot of kids that crossed over into track and space. And I was just trying to be consistent as I was there. We had some really incredible one, two sport kids on the girls' side that I was trying to sort out more with our three sport kids.
It's just unbelievable how athletic the girls' talent is in mm-hmm. the league. Makes this a really difficult, category. But Bruce, I think I'm ready to make my decision.
Okay, the 2018-2019 SVC Sports Zony Award for Female Athlete of the Year goes to
Josie Fisher, Uniota. District Player of the Year in volleyball. First team, all league in three sports. 1,000-point scorer in basketball. Standout volleyball player, obviously, to be a District Player of the Year. Carried three teams to the district level. Just really, really special athlete. I do think that, position wise may have helped her a little bit softball, but also great power hitter. Just a special athlete. And I do think Hallie Pinkerton and Allison Basie and Marcy Dudgeon and Abra Cottrell will be fighting for this one next year also. Just really special athlete with Josie Fisher.
Well, what's neat about that category is a lot of the underclassmen, you know, not other than maybe Lee as a senior. I was going to say you have a lot of kids that, as we said, you can almost make another category for in terms of underappreciated. So the fact that they're into this category starts to say what we're recognizing a little bit more and appreciating a little bit more what they do across the board. So I think that's a pretty solid pick. I think you could debate about five or six different winners in that category. Just a great, great category. And again, highlights how incredible the female sports are here in the SVC.
This segment of our coverage of the 2018-2019 SVC Sports Zony Awards Show is brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. Look them up at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport, and Kevin and the boys will take care of what you need. Maybe create a package to satisfy you depending on your location, how many times a year you're going to play, and so on and so forth. Telephone number is 740-986-4653, and you can look them up on the web as well at crownhillgolfclub.com. again, the Crown Hill Golf Club, one of our sponsors here on SVC Sports Talk. Up next, we think about our favorite game of the year as well as milestones reached by some elite SVC athletes and coaches. And as we go into the discussion here about milestones reached by some SVC athletes and coaches, it's brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic. Their telephone number is 740-773-7387. And the resort out there, 740-773-5267. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff are available at North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming, where they feel that a good veterinarian's got to know each and every animal being treated and the temperament of the pets. They have dislikes and likes just like our people do. And they limit their practice to small animals so that they get to know everything about their patients. We know that they are just like family, and we know their owners, and we know how their owners want them to be treated. That is North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Give them a call again, 740-773-7387. Gentlemen, we move on to our fourth category, and as we teased there, it is the game of the year. So the nominees are Huntington at Unioto. That's a boys basketball matchup. Paint Valley versus Grandview Heights, week 11 at CHS, and Unioto versus Fairfield Union Girls Soccer District Championship. Shane?
Well, again, when you think across the board, there's about, counting some Saturday nights, there's about 13-14 football games we get to go to, 20-30 volleyball games. Then, you know, we see somewhere between, you know, 28-35 boys basketball and girls basketball games. So add that back up, and then, you know, you'll go and you'll catch your soccer, and you'll catch your, I mean, by the end of the year, you know, another 30 baseball games that's, you know, nearly that you coach in, John, you know, and then so it's, there's a lot of games to be trying to narrow it down to like three. Okay, so I had a lot of people remind me of all the one-run baseball games this year. Just today, someone was talking to me when I was talking to him about game of the year. You know, like with Payne Valley Westfall, for example, they beat us on a walk-off up there by one. Down here at Payne Valley, we beat them by one on a Bryce Newland hit. You could go through the Unioto Dena, you know, baseball 1-0 game. You know, there's all sorts of games, but to me, these are three games that, unless I just completely missed one, these are the ones that were just amazing to me. The first one, the boys basketball game, obviously you had one of the best seats in the house. I was sitting across the gym taking it as a fan. The Payne Valley Grandview Heights game, you and I got to watch together. Obviously, you and I were able to turn fan at that point, mm-hmm. with being a playoff game and so forth. And then the next game, I had gone down to Jackson. The goal that day was for you to cover, if I remember correctly, the soccer. I was going to do the volleyball, but it was hard to leave the soccer, right. because it was just incredible action back and forth. And then the 1-0. And again, you'll see some of these particular games even have particular parts of them go into other categories. But, you know, I guess the highlight of the Huntington-Uniota game is, you know, anytime a team doesn't win a game, but your lasting memory of that game is a particular performance or something like that, in terms of the way Elijah McCloskey was that night, that made for a special situation. But again, as we said when we talked about it that night, the credit of the Uniota kids to withstand that and to just go back and forth. And there's about five or six different times over the last probably 20 minutes of basketball that you felt like both teams were going to win or lose like four different times. Incredible. The Payne Valley Grandview Heights, that was the field situation at Payne Valley. They couldn't host. They had to go to Chillicothe to host the Week 11 game that they were supposed to be the home team of. And that added to the drama of the week and so forth. And Grandview Heights was a really, really talented team. And that game went back and forth. And you had the crazy situation off of the Cockrell punt there at the end and so forth of all the different things that could have happened, all the big mm-hmm. plays. And then you obviously the way the soccer game ended with the incredible play that, you know, we'll talk a little bit about later on as well. But I'm probably missing some, John, but the way I kind of go off this category is, without looking back through the website, I try to really go off memory, because to me, I feel like if off of memory, these are the games that are coming to mind, then they must have been the ones that I totally invested and enjoyed the most in. So that's kind of where I've come from. Again, I'm probably missing some. I know I thoroughly enjoyed the Southeastern Edina football game I watched. That was an incredible football game. But again, I'm probably missing some, but that's kind of where I went with those three for game of the year.
Yeah, I there's a lot of really good games, but I think you really nailed it with these three. They were just awesome to watch. One, I think, probably took off about 5 years from my life. And I can't imagine what it did to Coach Hoops, with Elijah in that game. That football game, watching, just seeing things with you that you pointed out, that Paint Valley was trying to do to just limit the Lachey kid, and just make him a non-factor on defense. I thought it was just great coaching too, because that kid was
he was phenomenal. I remember a couple times you and I sit there, like when certain things went the wrong way, it was like we could almost tell like 5 seconds before the ball was snapped, like, hey, this isn't going to end well.
Yeah. And then that soccer game where we watched together for, I think you made it through the first overtime, but I know you had to get over and cover that.
Well, I tweeted out that I think John Bruce has this under control. I'm going to count on him to get a goal. And you did.
Yeah. The crazy thing about it was, like, there was plenty of time between the start of the soccer game and the volleyball game. And then that didn't work out that way. Well, and then, in that game, like, I know the feeling with the Uniota people were like, well, if this goes to a shootout, at least we got Sydney with the goalie difference. But yeah, that was just an amazing game. I'm sure we'll hear about it, but I'm excited to hear with anybody else. But I think I'm
well. We did hear a lot of Zane Trace, Uniota volleyball. We heard Southeastern Elite Eight volleyball. So we did have a lot of volleyball in there as well. I guess these are just the three that jumped out at me.
Now I'll throw a boys soccer game out. Was the Uniota Zane Trace boys soccer game, where Uniota scored with less than 2 seconds on the clock in each half and won 2-0. Mm. That was the only time they scored was like, so it was within 3 seconds of being a tie game. It was just a great battle with a huge crowd for a soccer game also. But yeah, Bruce, I think I'm ready to choose.
All right. The 2018-2019 SVC Sports Zoney Award for Game of the Year goes to...
Huntington at Uniota Boys Basketball. I've watched, I don't want to age myself on it. I've watched a lot of basketball at Uniota, and that was by far the best single game performance I've ever seen from an individual player, and it was in a great game. Elijah was just that. Was unbelievable the effort that he put out, and I've seen Coach Hoops talk to kids before, and like, you know, after the game you say something special to them. Like, it took forever to get through that line because I think every one of our kids was hugging Elijah based on and talking, like saying, hey, just, that was unreal, like, 'cause we did everything we could to stop him and it didn't work. Just every time down the court, I mean, I watched Chris Beard come back from an injury and then just destroy a good Uniota team in the mid-90s. I saw your brother have some great games there. Jason Cruz has some great games. I saw a lot of great girls' performances there. But Elijah McCloskey's was just on another level. And like we mentioned, you know, they didn't win the game. Is how special that performance was. So that's why I had to go with that for my game of the year.
Well, I like that selection, Bruce, because it's out of the games, which I guess I didn't even realize when I was talking about it. It is the one SVC game that was on the list too, which I kind of like. So yeah, I can't argue with that. That was that particular performance could have won a lot of different categories. Sure. That's outstanding.
We move along to our next category, and it is entitled Milestone Performance. The nominees are Jayla Campbell, 1,000 for Elijah McCloskey and Braden Collins. Laura Smith wins number 700. Macy Conley, 2,000 assists. And wrestlers reaching 100. Shane?
Well, I certainly don't want to cheat our other basketball people that scored the 1,000. You know, we talked about, you know, Evans, we talked about Fisher and so forth. I think what was unique about McCloskey and Collins, kind of classmates on the boys girls side. Again, if you go through the history of our 1,000 point pages, that hasn't happened a lot. But man, Jayla Campbell, I got a chance to interview her and get to know her a little bit earlier this year. What a really, really neat young lady. Just was really fun to talk to. Her personality, you could just kind of see the competitive spirit and her love for competing as you talk to her. Really, really enjoyed that. Laura Smith, 700. I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, we thought, I mean, that's just dumb. I mean, that is just unreal. I mean, that is that, That's just really, really special. You know, Conley, the 2,000 assist. Yeah, I know earlier in her career, playing with the incredible athletes of Chandler and Morris and so forth, that obviously helped that. But again, this year she continued to grind and do those. And then all of our wrestlers reaching 100. If we kind of group them together, that's pretty impressive. You know, when you talk to wrestling people about what that means, that means some, you know, I know we were talking a lot in some voting today in baseball, you know, what's it mean to have 100 hits, or okay, if you have 120, that's really incredible. You know, but understanding what 100 means in wrestling is really good. So, it's been a year where a lot of milestones have been reached, and each time they do it never gets old, I think, because the older I get, John, I think I appreciate them more because I understand the longevity. You know what I mean? It kind of like you and I are baseball nuts. I can comprehend someone hitting in 56 straight games in baseball, even though it hasn't been done more than what, 44 chasing it or whatever.
Yeah.
I I can still comprehend that, though. What I can't comprehend is playing every day for like two decades like Cal Ripken. The longevity things, I think, are what blow my mind in terms of never having interruption, never having, you know, you have to be consistent from start to finish. So I think that's probably what I was looking for throughout a career when I was looking at these particular things.
Yeah, I just, you know, we have like a Lauren Goble that broke the assist record.
Yeah,
it had only been standing for a year, so maybe that's one that we don't think about as much. But really, really special career for her.
The volleyball setters was the category that was typed poorly there. That's my fault, Bruce. That was the volleyball setters that were supposed to be grouped together there. I apologize on that.
But you know, the wrestlers reaching 100 wins, that just kind of shows the domination of just being able to do it, to be that good for that long. Jayla Campbell's, you know, doing something that had, soccer hasn't been around a really long time, probably 30 years in the area, maybe 35 years, but still to do something that no other girls soccer player had ever done and only one other person had done in the county, to score 100 goals is just spectacular. The 1,000 points for the two Huntington grads, or possibly grads, I don't understand when people are graduating, but the two seniors, you know, really special. And just 700 wins is insane. But I think the you know, and also Cam Evans getting to 1,000 points as a junior, has a really good chance to break the league record for points. It's just a lot of great milestones reached this year.
I will throw in there real quick, because I do feel bad about that. That was to be our volleyball milestones. The Conley was the one that I had put down there, but that's kind of the headline of that. You know.
Yeah.
Glad you mentioned that, because we had a lot of kids, you know, get to certain marks on the digs and the setting and so forth. So thank you.
All right, John, are you ready?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. The 2018-2019 SVC Sports Zony Award for Milestone Performance goes to
Laura Smith's 700th. win.
700.
Yeah, maybe it's good. Maybe it's because we're coaches. You know, that's just maybe it just stands out so much. And the other performances are just amazing.
Maybe I should apologize to the other kids. Maybe I should have made the executive decision. You know, like on the ESPYs, they give like the achievement award or whatever. I should have just maybe that's so insane it shouldn't even be in a category. Like it should have just been its own separate award.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. It's just something that's very rarely been done. I think you mentioned 3 times it's been done ever in the state of Ohio. It's just, it feels like every time, you know, it's they had the, what was it, the 75 years that they didn't lose at home. And we got to 69 wins in the league and, you know, like, oh, that's super impressive. Oh, we were still 30 when we were still 2.5 years away from even beating the Adina volleyball streak.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, they remember that for the longest time, like Bruce, you'd be sitting at a volleyball game for the longest time and it wouldn't be like, hey, Adina almost got beat tonight. It would be like, hey, did you see like so-and-so got to like 20 or 21 against them in a couple? I mean, yeah. it was literally like that. It was unreal. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. And it's just, and it felt like, oh, well, that ended. Now, you know, Adina volleyball might go away. Oh, nope. They're back. Oh, they might go away. Oh, yeah. No, they're coming.
Yeah.
It's just because that one, well, I won't say one constant, two constants, because Coach Ashton.
Yes.
Just a huge part of it too. And you can just tell, man, it's just such an awesome accomplishment. I know we did a big thing earlier in the year, to celebrate it, but it's something I think should always be celebrated. So congratulations to her and to all the nominees on this one.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's our milestone performance, guys. Obviously, most of our memories from the year are fun and positive. But up next, we take a look back at some things we wished would never have happened. This segment brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Telephone number is 740-986-4653, and you can look them up on the web at crownhillgolfclub.com. Call Kevin and his staff and see what they can put together for you, because they'll make a package for you. They also have the banquet facilities. I know there's quite a few SVC teams and other teams in the area, golf teams that have their outings there. We do really appreciate their willingness to work with all of us in the SVC and around the SVC as well. That's
great. Great place for an outing. Yeah. I mean, it's a great place with the facilities up there. That's awesome.
Does your brother Matt have one coming up there soon?
Yes. This Saturday, the Vinton County one, one of the really good scrambles I play, and hopefully I'm hoping I don't get to play in it this year, because I hope to maybe like have a baseball game, but but it is coming up this weekend, and he takes it up there because he thinks that highly of Kevin and the facilities up there.
That's a jaunt for those of us in Vinton County, but still, it's worth it. So I've heard him talk about it. So really do appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you very much for your support of the podcast, your support of SVC. Guys, we move along to our next category, and as we hinted earlier, it's some of the things that weren't so fun. It's entitled Heartbreak Moment, and the Heartbreak Moment nominees are Jamarcus Carroll's injury versus Paint Valley, Southeastern Volleyball falls in a tough four-set match to Tuskegee Valley, one step shy of the Final Four, and the Pioneers squander a second-half lead to lose in the Sweet 16. Shane?
Well, I don't want to persuade anything here. To me, this is one of the more cut and dry categories we have. I think anytime you lose in a particular tournament game, or especially as you climb the ladder in the tournament, and it's a game that you feel like you could have won, and you feel like special things were ahead of you, that's heartbreaking in a sense. I think the Carroll situation with Paint Valley, we're watching again a game that probably had the makings of a game of the year, John. If you look at the final, 8 minutes of that game or so. When that young man went down, I know it was just kind of it was just a punch to the gut. I can remember sitting there. I mean, obviously there's no secret I was rooting for Paint Valley in the game, but just as a competitor and as a coach and someone who, loves watching kids perform, that kid was putting on, he was in the midst of maybe putting together what would have been the performance of the year, including Elijah's that we talked about earlier. And it just, it got ended there a bit soon, and, it's unfortunate. Look, injuries are part of sports. We get that. When you're involved in this, you understand it can happen, but it doesn't make it any easier to watch. So again, I know there was other kids that got hurt this year, and I'm not trying to, not include them in this category. Anytime a kid gets hurt or they have to go through surgery or have to go through different things, I think it was just the fact that it was in that particular moment is what jumps out at me. For this particular category. So again, that's kind of just kind of the way I felt about it.
Yeah, I this is a tough category. I mean, I thought really in that game with Southeastern and Tuskegee Valley, I thought Southeastern was the better team for most of it. That one was, pretty heartbreaking to lose a close, tight game like that. Zane Trace, another one I thought was the better team, and losing a late lead. And I thought that they were a better team than Sheridan, who ended up getting to the Final Four, New Philadelphia did kind of the same thing Zane Trace did. in the final. They ended up losing the lead. It's kind of a similar way. So, I mean, you know, those two especially, but, Jamarcus, if you got to know him, he is just such an electric personality, just great kid. He's had kind of a rough couple years, but he just always has a smile on his face, always is in a good mood. Just a really special kid. And then to put in the fact that it was such a good game, it was really heartbreaking. And I think you could probably tell my mood that night probably went from one way to another, when that happened, just because I personally know Jamarcus and what kind of kid he is, to where that really, it sucked, just to kind of say it as a to go in general. Can't really choose better words when talking about it. So,
right.
But Bruce, I think I'm ready to choose.
All right. Our 2018-2019 SVC Sport Zuni Award for Heartbreak Moment goes to
The Jamarcus Carroll injury versus Paint Valley. He was in the midst of, it was week six. He was obliterating the record book for Uniota. He only ended up being 100 yards away from the Uniota record for rushing yards in a season. And that was through 5 3/4 games. It seemed like they were driving with a chance to win that game, to do something that the Uniota hasn't done since 1998, which would be win the SVC in football, and maybe have a chance to host a home game for the playoffs. But then that kind of takes a lot of that away. And just like I mentioned, just such an amazing, awesome kid. But just to see how he's carried himself through it. Hopefully the heartbreak, it hasn't broke his spirit anything. He was back and ran in a couple track meets this year, and I'm excited to see how he bounces back from it this year in football.
All right, we move along to our Play of the Year category. That's the next one on the Sports Zuni Awards show, and the nominees for Play of the Year go to Grubb's buzzer beater to beat Uniota, Thompson's overtime goal to beat Fairfield Union for the district title, and the third is Lane Ruby, his 30-year SVC long jump record, established after 30 years.
Well, what's funny about this one is a Uniota person actually gave me both of those first two. They're like, hey, well, I can remember one, we were on the right side of it, one we were on the wrong side of it. So that kind of came. I mentioned some of those walk-off wins earlier. The SVC Westfall Paint Valley, where Westfall squeezed home that that winning run. When you consider, they go on to win by one game in the league, you could look at that play as being so significant in terms of that. Anytime any one run game or any championship play that someone's involved in, that's really, really important. There were certain plays that jumped out at me. But maybe they were more in the second, third quarter of games that maybe they didn't have the impact of. And then obviously the last one there, anytime you break a record, it's a big deal. When you break a record, it's 30 years old, it's a bigger deal. And then when you break it by a lot, it becomes just unthinkable. So I think that to me, that's the one that jumped in here at me from the spring. But, we mentioned earlier, Bruce, how hard it was to narrow down three games. Mm-hmm. When I'll take 100 plus games and think of times that by all the plays.
Right.
It's impossible. But to me, those are a couple that were nominated in. And then obviously the one that jumped out at me there at the end here in the spring. So I think it's a pretty fair category. I think you could argue for a long time on all the plays that need to be there. But in my opinion, this one's a pretty clear cut one as well. Just in my opinion.
Yeah, it's the Grubb buzzer beater was the entire play to it too. It was just he was able to, you know, beat a couple of defenders to go the length of the court in less than 6 seconds to score it. And that was kind of a record breaking thing too, because Payne Valley hadn't beaten Uniota in quite some time. So, you know, it was important for them also to get a big win for the program, kind of rebuilding after Dylan Swingle. It's kind of a big win for them. Michaela Thompson, one of the things that kind of might be overlooked in that goal was the fact that it was she went off with an injury in the first overtime and kind of came back and was hobbled and just made big plays all year for them. And it's just a really special to win a district championship for that. And Lane Ruby is just insane. Everything that kid can do. I'm sure that you probably could have picked other Lane Ruby plays that also could have been in this.
He probably had like 10 different times he touched the football this year that could have been up for the category.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce, you saw it.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to remember that, but yes, I saw it.
He had a kickoff return where I think they pitched it like two or three times to get it to him because they're kicking the ball so far away from him, and he went backwards all the way down. He probably ran 150 yards to go 75 to get them in position to have a chance to beat Vinton County. And that was just one of the things that kid could do. Man, it's just that kid's special. There's just other plays. I mean, throughout the year, that probably could be mentioned, but I do think you did a really good job on picking these three.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm ready to go I'm ready.
Got the orchestra warming up now. So the 2018-2019 SVC Sport Zony Award for Play of the Year goes to
Lane Ruby's long jump at the SVC track meet to break a 30-year record. And not just break a 30-year record. He broke it by almost 10 inches. A record that had been standing for that long, and to shatter it is just unbelievable. And I mean, only being a junior, I wouldn't be surprised if he rebroke the record again next year, along with a couple other records. He almost broke a 200 meter district record that had been standing for 10 years yesterday. And I'm going to go ahead and say that the laser timing probably cost him that because it ended up being by a hundredth of a second. It's just that kid is just unbelievable. And, and if they had the breakdown like they do in other, in like the OHSAA meets, I wonder if he broke it more than one time in that. Because you have like six jumps, so I wouldn't be surprised if he broke it more than one time, because man, that kid is unbelievable.
Congratulations to Lane then on the Play of the Year. Well, we're almost done, guys. So up next, we look at some different types of categories that help us highlight a variety of sports and headlines. In our final segment of show 253, our SVC Sports Zony Awards, brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming, 740-773-7387. Located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where we care. Their hours Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 9 to 12. And the Doggy Deck Care Center, the resort hours there, 7 to 7 on Monday through Friday, 9 to 6 on Saturday and Sunday. That is North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Again, we appreciate very much their support through this year with SVC Sports Talk. Moving on to our next category, it's entitled Breakout Stars, and this basically is a duo from the same sport. Baseball's Luke Blackburn and Brock Blanton. Girls basketball, Allison Basie and Mahaley Farmer. Football's Preston Sykes and Mikey Nusser. Girls track, Paris DeBoard and Michaela Lovely. Shane?
Yeah, this is a category I can't take credit for. This was actually something just in terms of just talking some ideas and some different things. There were a couple of people who said, hey, it'd be kind of cool to look across some sports. And we had first talked about I think the conversation started, John, from earlier in the show where we were talking about underappreciated athletes and so forth, and then kind of some breakout stars. And so one thing led to another, and we just kind of put the category together. And then I asked for some different, things from throughout. And I guess the idea of this is when the word breakout, I think, like with West Falls, Blackburn and Paint Valley's Blant, I think where people are coming from there is, they knew a little bit more, say, about an Eric Corzad or a Lane Mettler coming into the year, where these two kind of jumped onto the scene. Or, Basie being a freshman, Farmer really had a great second half to the season, ended up being a first-team selection, just a sophomore. Sykes, this kid, I tell you, really in a lot of sports, but this kid on the football field had kind of a coming out party early in the year. I watched him play on a Saturday night game. And then as the year went on, his performance against Southeastern over at Southeastern, I want to say it was week 9. I don't have it in front of me. And that was special. He's a really, really good player. And then, we talked so much about Ruby, and rightfully so. I think a lot of us asked the question when all of the talented running backs from a year ago had graduated, what's that going to look like in that Southeastern running puzzle? And I think he answered that question early and often. So he was very impressive. And then you just talked about it earlier, DeBoard, what an incredible performance, and Lovely as well. The amount of freshman, sophomore talent in our league right now is really, really special. So I think that's what makes this kind of a cool category as well. We've had two or three. I think I've almost set them up pretty easy for you here. I think we're back to where we were earlier. I think this is probably, if not the toughest category, probably the second toughest category I had in terms of trying to figure out a winner. I think, John, you have your hands full here.
Yeah. Because, there's other, really, oof.
There are.
And, yeah, you could have picked just a lot of people for some of these categories, too, because, this is tough because, in each sport, there are different standouts. I almost feel like the girls' track might be the easiest to go with on who they were. Maybe girls' basketball, too, with Basie and Farmer, with how special they were.
I think we're looking at breakout. I think there's probably a lot of people saying, what about this? What about this? I think there's certain people coming into the year, you already know about them. These are the ones that maybe jumped on the radar like, oh, wow, man, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, then, you have like an injury with the DeBoard and, but.
Sure.
Hey, Brock Blanton, I think kind of if he hadn't announced his presence with authority before the sectional tournament, like I tweeted that out last night, was, man, he 15 strikeouts in the two sectional games without throwing a ton of pitches, just super impressive. His breakout is continuing. Same with Luke Blackburn. And I don't have anybody else I can add, but I do think this is a doozy of a category.
And are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. 2018-2019 SVC Sports Zony Award for Breakout Stars goes to
baseball's Luke Blackburn and Brock Blanton. Like I mentioned, Blanton was just lights out in the sectional tournament. 10, 10 innings pitched, 15 strikeouts, no runs, one hit. Just unreal for a kid who, I mean, we talked about it before. He might not have pitched, or he didn't seem destined to pitch league games or really start league games or the majority of them. Then you have an injury happen, and or a couple injuries happen at all. Okay, well, we're facing – I know our guys are like, oh, we're facing Pain Valley's number four. Oh, okay. Well, this is miserable. When they came back home after that first game against you guys and were like, man, that kid's good. That kid's a stud. And then they go up to Westfall and come back and, oh, face the Blackbird kid. That kid's a stud. They're kids that just – you didn't know much about them coming into the year, and then they just both just really, really were standouts. Just really good players. I do want to give a shout out to the other ones. It's like Allison Basie before the year. I had heard about how good she was, and then the first play of the preview, I see her make a play, yeah. And I went, yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. So she is not hype. It was, and that's one play of the preview. Then Farmer is another one where just seeing her in the seeing her during soccer, and I knew that she was a basketball player. I kind of knew,
yeah, her versatility on the basketball court's really impressive.
Yeah. And then just kind of what you mentioned with Sykes and Nusser. It's just Nusser, he's kind of, oh, well, they just lost a ton. Oh, it's okay, because they've got this kid, and he's...
Hey, I think they're the sleeper in this category. Yeah. You honestly, I was waiting to hear what you'd say. You could have said anything, and I would have probably had to just agree. But I do think Sykes and Nusser are kind of the sleeper here in terms of the true breakout, because those are two question marks we had coming in that got answered real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just very impressed with those two. And then, like, girls track, I mean, you could even throw Lovely in there with some softball too, because she started to play big time for Dina late in the year. And then then she goes and does track and wins the high jump and is ultra competitive. And I remember seeing Paris DeBoard at school right after she tore ACL last spring, and she was so upset because she wasn't going to be able to run track, and that's what she loved to do. And then I was like, oh, this is rough, because, you know, she's probably not going to make it back for next year. Oh, and then she goes out and wins four events. That's a heck of a breakout. But yeah, I just had to go with baseball just because of those two seem like unknown.
I can see the emails now. Yeah. John's baseball bias. He's
it's okay.
Cheater. He's a cheater. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it. Because, I mean, really, we talked about, you know, how good Westfall could be in baseball, but we didn't know how they'd be. And then, they got a kid go 9-0.
Mm. Hey, you know, the other thing on the board, John, is you just talked about the record page there, what, a couple shows ago?
Yeah.
And talking back into the mid-90s with, when you're naming, like, Gina Thomas and Julie Wilkins.
Yeah.
You know, the DeBoard's one of the first kids that comes about where, you know, if given the opportunity to run particular events, I know, you know, Unieta is always going to have great depth, but, you know, you're talking about one of those generational talents, I think, that could really be special in terms of the historic value in the league as well.
Yeah. And I talked to Nutter, who's the girls track coach at Unieta. Right. And I kind of mentioned how good she was this week. And he said, oh, you haven't seen her do this event. I don't want to say what the event is, but it's something they held her out of this year because they wanted to make sure she's fully healthy. So that could be, that could be one of those, you know. And then, you know, they have really good sprinters that are going to be running with her. I mean, the Renner girl, Carly Renner, is a freshman who's lightning fast, who's just a little bit slower than her. So that could help her in the possibility of maybe breaking a 4x1 record here in the next couple of years. She's one of those that I think could be just unbelievable to watch for the next 3 years, especially as she continues to get healthy and continues to run.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is our eighth category, and we're moving on to the ninth and final category here on the show. It is entitled Headline of the Year. And the headlines of the year, now, I noticed that there weren't some of John's headlines in here, Shane. Some of the alliteration and the repeating and so forth and the clever puns, but I don't think they appear here. So the headline nominees are Zane Trace Boys in Historic Unioto Streak in Boys Basketball. And this one, Down Goes Goliath from Derek Webb as PV Softball beats Portsmouth Clay. And then this one that we're becoming accustomed to, Gray heading to state tournament again. Shane?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many different things throughout. There's a historical value. There's one in there that would probably win an upset category. And then there's one that, again, kind of that forgotten set of fall sports there that goes. So, you know, you kind of have a Zane Trace category, Paint Valley one, and then you go to Unioto Tennis there a little bit. But, you know, these are the ones that probably jump out as you could certainly make a headline out of some of the other categories. You know, you could look at, you know, what Lane Ruby had accomplished, make a headline out of that. But for me, these are some of the ones that when you look at the historic value or the historic ability to remember on down the line, I think these are some of the better choices.
I think you're missing a lot here by not having any of my fall headlines out there.
Yeah.
I kind of wore down the creativity department later in the year, but I'm building up for a strong 2019 fall on that.
Can hardly wait.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, outside of that, you know, I think these are three great headlines. I mean, Sylvia Gray's just complete and utter domination throughout her career. And then just getting kind of stuck in a bad matchup with where they put the Southeast District against, you know, it happens, but just nothing. Can't understate how special she's been. And I think that's a kind of a hidden headline. And I do think that possibly a fourth year of doing it, you know, another one. Payne Valley Softball beating Portsmouth Clay, who won't finish in the top 10 in the state, but they were number three when it happened. And then of course the voters were fickle and went, oh, well, this happened, so they can't be in the top 10 when they clearly were a top 10 team all year. It's huge. And then Zane Trace Boys, you know, ending the historic streak. And it was such an impressive streak, you know, to do it over 5 years. Just very something that, you know, shouldn't be sneezed at. Very good headlines. I can't think of anything to add in there. I think I'm ready.
All right. The 2018-2019 SVC Sports Zoney Award for Headline of the Year goes to...
Down Goes Goliath. Paint Valley Softball beats Portsmouth Clay. Now, I'll say the main reason I go with this over the Zane Trace ending the historic streak kind of goes with how good Portsmouth Clay was this year. Because Unioto Basketball goes 10-13 this year. Not as good. And now the streak was extremely historic. And then Sylvia Gray heading back to the state tournament again. It's just the three times, unbelievable. But I mean, Pay Valley Softball beating Portsmouth Clay. Portsmouth Clay had reached the district tournament all but 2 years in their history, going back to the mid 70s on in their softball. And that's just unbelievable that they did, and they did it impressively. Just kind of a program building win too for Painted Valley too. It's something that they can really build off of. Just something that those kids will be able to remember, knocking off a number three team in the state, who's one of the best programs in Southeast Ohio. It's just something that, you know, maybe it's recency bias on that, but it's awesome. And to me, it was my headline of the year.
And we did attribute that to Derek Webb, didn't we? I wanted to make sure that he got the credit for that. I can almost hear, you know, Howard Cosell saying that in his voice. Down goes, instead of Frazier Ali, it was Goliath. So that,
now, the reason I wasn't going to throw anything else out there for Derek was because I wasn't getting credit for my headlines.
So. Oh, I see. That's why you didn't mention it.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I was just...
A little professional jealousy there. Ooh.
Okay. Never.
Never. Well, guys,
boys, whatever. I mean, either one.
Okay. We're going to be taking a little hiatus here. We usually will be back if everything gels together. We'll be back in late August, mid-August maybe. And for that reason, over the hiatus, you may want to get in touch with Shane or John or Derek. And we give this out each week. We're seeking input on what you would like changed from year to year, that kind of thing. You can get a hold of Shane by using email, admin1@svcsportzone.com. On his Twitter is his handle there, @svcsportzone. Facebook, he maintains two profiles, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and svcsportzone.com. And John, his email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. Twitter, his handle, of course, the infamous Coconut Wall Papa. Should they tweet throughout the summertime, they will be using the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. And then Derek Webb, you can get a hold of him two different ways. The verified account on Twitter, his handle there, @DW1509, and his Gmail email is DerekW1509@gmail.com. And someday we're going to have to ask him, Shane, what the significance of the 1509 is, unless you know.
Yeah, I can't say that I do.
We quizzed John about the Coconut Wall Pop, and that was interesting to say the least. So we may have to talk to Derek. So, guys, what did we miss?
Hey, I just want to throw out there that if you don't have the money to do what I said would happen, which was we would be seeing a lot of SVC teams in the district tournament, make sure you follow the hashtag SVC Sports Talk this week, because I will be working all 12 games, I think, for the district tournament. Including Shane's, hopefully two games, you know, with Paint Valley. So I'll be, unless Derek is working also.
Okay.
Then I'll let him take care of the tweeting for the most part. But there'll be a lot of updates on the games there. I'll be trying to give some track updates also throughout the week whenever those results are coming out, to make sure those track kids get a lot of love on that. So, since you thanked me multiple times, Shane, I will try to keep that up for the kids this week. I appreciate everything they do, so I want to make sure to show the appreciation by getting as much information out on them as possible. And I just want to thank, you know, I know you're probably going to talk about some other stuff with the show and everything, Shane, but I just want to thank you two both. Bruce is the best in the business at this. I've listened to other, I've been on a couple other podcasts, and it's not as well done as this, in my opinion. And I think that's why. Yeah. And it's really well done. And Shane, it's something that I wanted to do for a long time, was get on this, and I've had a great time this year. And I even skipped out on playing tennis, baseball tonight, which is one of my favorite activities to do. The tennis baseball league. We don't do it as often because, you know, we're old now, but I skipped out on it to do this show with you guys tonight, because that's how much I enjoy it. Doing it from other states. I thought I was going to do it from another country earlier this year. Maybe we'll hold off on that for next year. but it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. And I know the website's something that kids enjoy checking, and I know people that, even if they don't have kids playing now, they know it's a place where they can go and get information. And
right,
I think it's awesome. You've done it for a little, as long as you have. And I want to say congratulations to you and your Paint Valley team yesterday for winning a sectional first time since 2015, getting back to the district tournament. And I think it's really, really awesome how you run your program, and I'm glad to see you guys have success.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and I know our kids do as well. And as we come into this final category, I'll just start right there, John, with kind of throwing it right back at you. I thank you. I you know, you're certainly one that we've just always enjoyed each other's company in terms of talking sports. Yeah, I feel like we do what we do on here is what you and I would do for, you know, 3 or 4 hours at the VA one night, just watching a doubleheader baseball action. So I hope people enjoy it. I think people have listened throughout the 8-year history, and Lord willing, we'll be back for a ninth, as Bruce said. You know, when we ask, you know, what we missed from the 2018-2019 season, I would say probably a lot. I think if you look through the categories, I was just looking back through as we finished up there, just about every school was kind of in the middle. Obviously, year to year, there's going to be certain schools that dominate the headlines more just because they're involved in more. You know, they're involved in bigger games, bigger plays, bigger performances, whatever. And what's been neat over the 8-year period is the way that's changed a little bit. You know, we you know, what do we miss? Maybe a little bit of Edina boys basketball, maybe not talking about them as much. And maybe they get buried in the headlines because of some of the others. I think maybe Lauren Goble, Skylar Heiss was a player of the year. Them going to the Elite Eight. We certainly mentioned it at times, but maybe didn't highlight that maybe as much as a show like this should. Zane Trace volleyball certainly took a giant step forward. They played a big part in the league this year. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things that you're always going to fall short of mentioning and so forth. But I just think it's a great show. It's a way to look back. And then to you, Bruce, I'll say the same thing John just said. You know, for the listeners to know, Bruce for years has said, hey, you know, you don't really need me. You could do this, 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 and this. And I kind of look back at him like, I don't even know what the heck you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, like, if John and I tried to put this out every week, it would be a complete debacle. So when Bruce makes those comments, he's lost his mind. I think he still to this day doesn't know how valuable he is to this. And, you know, Bruce, we've been together from show one to show what now, 253 or whatever it is.
Yep.
And I appreciate that. I know it's been a cool friendship, and we've been able to stay in touch, you know, not just during the show, but in other, you know, other times of the year as well. So guys, I appreciate it. I look forward to good luck to all of our spring teams and athletes that are still out there, you know, chasing down that ultimate high school dream and of a state championship. You know, best of luck to everyone, and we'll continue to cover it. The website will stay going until all that's said and done, and then, you know, we'll slow in the summer as we always do, just a little bit for about a 6 to 7 week period. But come August 1st, we'll be right back at it. So. You know, certainly don't want to shut you out here, Bruce. Any final thoughts you'd like to say as we put a wrap here on season 8?
Nope. It's just, it's been real, gentlemen. I appreciate your forbearance at times when I miss a button or completely botch a name or something like that. Editing is a wonderful thing. I will let the world know that. And since we're doing it on a digital recorder, we can do that. So it's a good thing. But no, I had fun, and it's You guys are the brains behind this. I just, as I say, push the button. So we'll talk with everybody around the middle of August or so, I suppose.
Absolutely. So, right. Well, guys, on that thought then, and until August of 2019 for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people in there at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.